We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God's word for us this morning is taken from Joshua, where we read this book of Torah. That's God's word for us this morning. It's a question that, frankly, I am dreading. After all, it is Greek season, I mean summer vacation for some people season, and it is a question that I am dreading from the back seat of my car. Oh, okay, minivan. I'm that cool. Dad, are we there yet? Going through the plains of trains, no trains, just plains this year throughout the Midwest, where there's nothing to see but the geographical feature of the horizon, undoubtedly I will hear that question. Dad, are we there yet? To which I will say, you asked it 5 minutes ago. We are 5 minutes closer. Are we there yet? This is not a question we like to hear. It's a question we wrestle with. It's a question that God's people wrestle with. It's a question implicit here in Joshua chapter 1. Are we there yet? After all, we are on different journeys. Journeys to start Greek. Are we there yet? No, you have 9 more weeks. Are we there yet? Seminary starting. Are we there yet? A Christ Academy adventure begun today. Are we there yet? And the question goes on and on. God's people are asking the same question implicit here in Joshua 1. This picks us up after the Pentateuch is completed. God has led them through the wilderness, and they're on the brink of the Promised Land. They've seen and experienced God's salvation. God has redeemed them through the waters crossing the Sea of Reeds, and God has sustained them through those 40 years. Are we there yet? And the question lingers, and change is upon them. Verse 1 of Joshua 1 starts out on something of a foreboding note. After the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, the Savior who had led them, the leader they could count on, is now gone. And it's time for a young man to take up the reins, to lead them through the conquest, so that they can finally achieve the Promised Land and the rest that had been promised them way back in Genesis chapter 12. And a leadership changes. And uncertainty abounds. And you can only imagine what it was like for Joshua. Can he cut it? He's after all been Moses' assistant. He stood by Moses faithfully throughout the wilderness journeys, he along with Caleb. And now he's given one last promise. Are we there yet? No, a journey still exists. Are we there yet? How do we sustain ourselves on our journey? It's important to note that Joshua 1 is not about God saving God's people. Yes, if you're keeping score at home, there were a considerable number of imperatives in Joshua chapter 1, a lot of commands. Joshua 1 is not about how you're saved. Joshua 1 assumes it's already happened. Joshua 1 already happens after God has saved God's people. And we hear this text as people also on a journey in which we've already crossed through waters of a sort. We've crossed through those baptismal waters by which we passed from death into life. And just like God's people of old, we are in the wilderness. We are in that place where we keep asking the question, are we there yet? And the answer is no. How close are we? Well, some closer than others, perhaps. But it's in the time of the wilderness that we hear these words to Joshua that are also to us. Be strong and be of good courage. Well, that's easy enough to hear. But how often are we afraid? You've taken Greek exams. You know fear at this point. Some of you have learned the Hebrew alphabet. You've known utter terror at this point. Some of you are chuckling. Others of you are glad you're not them, probably. But is that we know what it means to be afraid. And it's into our fear and uncertainty that God gives us a gift. And God says here in verse 8 to Joshua, "This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night." And what does that mean for us? Frankly, when I become Pope, I will probably change LSB in this regard. The collect of the word is somewhat disappointing, with all due respect to LSB. You have given us this word to read, mark, learn, and take it to heart. But that's not really what meditation is. For those of us who grew up on TLH or LW, you may recall that collect of the word, that you've caused all Holy Scripture to be written so that we may read, learn, mark, and what? Inwardly digest us. Thank you, Dr. Verkencher, in the front row. That is an important way to know what it means to meditate. This word meditate is probably weird for us. We're thinking perhaps yogic om or something like that. That's actually not what it is. To meditate means that we digest God's word. The image here, Psalm 1 takes on as well, is that we chew it over and over and over again. As we exist in this wilderness, the food of our existence is God's word that comes to us in Holy Scripture, by which we chew over it again and again. And by chewing over it again and again, and many of you chew over it with me in all kinds of contexts, that's where God strengthens our faith. Yes, we will ask the question undoubtedly, are we there yet? And God continues to come to us with a word to strengthen, to nurture, to build, and to carry. Are we there yet? Undoubtedly, I will be hearing that question this summer across the plains of I-80, perhaps, or even worse, Highway 30. Are we there yet? And the answer is no. Are you there yet? No, you're on your journeys today. Journeys that have taken you from death to life through your baptism. Journeys that will take you to the promised land of the resurrection when Christ comes again with glory. Are we there yet? No. But are we there yet? And God says, come, take and eat. Chew on my word. Be nurtured in the faith until that great day in which you see me face to face. Until that great day, we pray with the church of old, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.